the journey to leadership is anything but conventional. Join Justin Gray as he talks with badass leaders from across the globe to discover where they came from and the drive that got them to where they are today. Welcome. This is Driven & Co.
So hello and welcome again. This is Justin Gray. I'm your host, CEO, founder, lead MD, and now SixBricks, joining you again once again on the Driven & Co. podcast. My guest today is a little bit of a break from our norm here. So I'm excited to welcome David Johnson, the CEO and co-founder of Genexa. David, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
Absolutely. So I guess to give our listeners a bit of a window into what I mean by a little bit of a break from the norm, tell us what Genexa is and what you guys do.
So Genexa was founded to really make medicine healthier. So really what we do is we go on and look for products that are on shelf or not on shelf yet. And we really look to remove the parabens and the dyes and the food colorings and everything that's in it that's not the medicinal purpose of the product. So we really are just on a mission to not only create healthier product, but if we can make them organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, that's what we'll do.
And how long have you guys been doing this?
So the company launched about 3 years ago and into the market about a year and 2 months ago now.
Awesome. So not your regular run-of-the-mill software company. So I think today's session will be great and provide some great insights for our listeners. So tell me a little bit about what an average day looks like for you at Genexa, and then we'll kind of hop in the Wayback Machine and see what the journey to Genexa looked like.
Sure. So my morning starts by my 2-year-old waking me up at 5:30 and making sure I'm ready. I'm getting ready for work. And then I get to the office about 7:30. The first thing we do is we review as a product company needs to really always stay on top of sales and inventory. So the first thing we review early in the morning is usually sales and inventory. Try to get that done by about 9 a.m. And then 9 a.m. we have a team meeting. And when I say team meeting, it's either with the sales, marketing, or the whole team. Different days, different meetings. And after that, it's really focusing on growth. So my partner and I focus on the growth aspects, meaning we do a lot of research and development, a lot of market research, a lot of outreach to current investors, new investors, and research and development in terms of products and next products and just kind of building the team and building the company.
Got it. Awesome. So yeah, I'm really excited to understand, you know, the path to bringing a product to market, a tangible product versus, you know, so much of the software that we deal with so often on this program. So, but before we do that, let's take a trip all the way back to the beginning here. And let's talk a little bit about what you wanted to be when you grew up.
I actually wanted to be a pilot.
And what kind of drove that?
You know, growing up, we had a close friend that he was actually the owner of a Amerijet. We used to fly with him places, and it was kind of the freedom of being up in the sky and kind of looking down and just enjoying the peacefulness of being up there.
Yeah,
I did actually start to be a pilot.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, in terms of did some private flying, and I like to do it now currently as well. But it was just, you know, exploring the world and traveling and seeing everything. So I think that was the drive to be a pilot, but definitely didn't go in that direction.
So you said you kind of started down that path. What led you away from that dream?
So I actually, you know, while being a pilot, I also enjoyed business and culinary. So I went and studied culinary, got a degree in food chemistry, and then from there went and studied business. And from there actually went into the military for a couple of years, and then circled back out and got into the business and food chemistry where I am today.
Yeah, we don't get too many paratroopers on the show. So, yeah, how long were you? You were in the Israeli Defense Forces, correct?
Correct. And I was in the Israeli Defense Forces for 3 years, and I was a paratrooper over there.
Wow. Amazing. So, after you get back from, you know, kind of that stint, where do you go from there?
So when I got back from there, I went back to and studied accounting and more finance to really understand macro and microeconomics and just understanding growth potential in certain avenues, and then got into actual financial tax minimization strategies as my first job out of the Army. And from there, the passion, I grew up in a naturopathic background, so I've always been driven to kind of live a healthier life, and that's the way I raise my children.
And really, this is your parents that kind of instilled that?
Yeah, my parents definitely instilled it, and my partner happens to be an FDA attorney, so he's got a lot of background.
Got it.
From a product standpoint, but what he really, he suffers from allergies, and I see a lot of what's happening with guts and with people that are allergic, and with allergies nowadays, with such a large percentage of America being allergic to gluten and lactose, right, and things like that. And we sort of saw that on the shelf, there was nothing that was taking all those issues into account. And that's sort of what led us to realize that you have the organic and the non-GMO trend coming from food to beverage to makeup to shampoos, Honest Company, et cetera. But there was nothing being done in this $49 billion industry to really make products on shelf healthier. And when I say healthier, I think of things like, talc, right? Talc is in a lot of products on shelf. Talc, you can also be found in detergents. So, I mean, there's just a lot of different things that the consumers are taking, and it's not for the purpose of why they're taking it. You take an acetaminophen, Tylenol, you're taking it for the acetaminophen. You're not taking it for the red dye and the blue dye and the byproducts. So that was really something that started to, drive our passion, not only from a business standpoint, but just from pure passion.
So how did you know, what was the moment where you knew that this was going to kind of move beyond the idea stage and that you had something that you really wanted to build a business around?
Well, realizing that there was such a major market with nothing in it, and then that was the first thing. And then it was, well, how do we do this? And then how do you validate the concept, right?
So yeah, it's got to be harder to test, prototype test medicine, right? I'd love to understand.
Prototype test medicine, you're competing, you're in a big field. So, there's a lot of, that has a lot of money, pharma has a significant amount of money. So how do two young entrepreneurs with limited bank accounts basically launch a pharmaceutical company when you basically have to beg manufacturers to run through research and development because you don't have the dollars to get them through it? So it was really sort of convincing everyone, including our chief medical officer, to work with us on this idea, because it's never been done and it should be done, because this is where the market is growing, and this is, people actually really are looking at, what's on the back of their products, and looking at what they're giving their kids, and looking at what they're taking themselves. So it was really just about, how do we now make it, and can it be done? So R&D was definitely stop and go, as it was not only a financial thing that we had to deal with, but the hardest part of it was the binder and the parabens that you can't use in an organic or a non-GMO or a healthier product. So how do you actually bind a tablet? How do you actually create a preservative system that can be called organic and isn't using all of the synthetic materials that are out there?
And so how long did that process take to get your initial product to market?
About 2 years.
Wow. And what was your first product that you actually put on shelves?
So we actually launched with 11 products. So,
wow.
So we launched with cold, allergy, and then, sleep and stress products. So we have, seasonality as well as others. And we're currently in the works with more, about 7 new products that should be launching January time. And those products will fall under, you know, the saline categories and some other categories that are
so,
really
so
something.
Explain that. What is the what is that category?
So like saline sprays, you know, spray categories. You know, a lot of people use saline for allergy and stuffiness, and then some pain roll-ons and some things like that.
Got it. And how do you guys make those product-based decisions? Is that based on market demand or just, again, like you said, kind of that area where you see the white space?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, the white space is around the certifications, and that's really, in terms of making it healthier, that's the white space where, in terms of the product, you know, we really focus on, you know, IRI data, which is consumer purchase data, and
okay.
what's actually flowing and leaving the shelf, and then we have to consider whether or not we can either take a stab at it, because some things on shelf are just so toxic in terms of, in our opinion, obviously, but in terms of toxicity levels, that we couldn't reduce it enough to actually make it healthier.
Interesting. And so, you know, you've gotten your products now into a ton of different retail locations. What is the process of kind of selling and marketing these drugs look like?
Yeah, so a lot of it is the guerrilla type marketing where you're trying to create awareness, right? So it's a lot of outreach, it's a lot of PR, it's a lot of, you know, talking about the products, and then we focus really on the younger channels. So we focus on the social channels and, you know, the Facebooks of the world, and Twitter, and just trying to touch our consumer. We know exactly, you know, our consumer is the younger generation that's focused on healthier and wanting to make a difference. It's the ones that are going into the Whole Foods and the ones that are going into, you know, Fresh Thyme markets, and the ones that are going into GNCs. It's the ones that are really looking for a healthier option for mm-hmm. themselves and their kids. So we focus on that crowd, and then you know, we do some mobile targeting. So we go through phones, because that's really the ideal way to really target your consumer. You know, you can follow, you know, it's amazing what you can do nowadays with these phones. You can actually track consumers.
Tell us a little bit about that and how you guys, you know, how do you use track consumers?
Huh?
I was saying, tell us a little bit about, you know, how you actually use mobile to reach consumers.
Yeah, so you can actually use mobile to reach consumers by typing in, you know, connecting into their IP. So there's services and companies that connect into the IPs of people's phones, and then mm-hmm. they can track them to like a CVS. So we sell a product in CVS. So this person hits CVS, maybe they didn't buy us, but on the way out, you serve them an ad. So now they see the ad, or because they kind of, you know, penetrated that, you know,
location.
Barrier.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That location. And now you serve them that, and the hope is that they would either use the app on the, you know, on the, go back in and get it, or next time they're there, they would consider it, but they at least know that our product's at CVS.
So I'm kind of amazed. You guys are a pretty small, scrappy team still, correct?
We are. We have about 10, but it's gone from 2 to 10 pretty quick.
Yeah.
And we're continuing to hire.
And so did you take funding in order to launch this business, or is this all bootstrapped?
It was bootstrapped until about a year ago when we did a small convertible note for $1 million, and revenues have just kind of supported growth, and now we're in conversations for a much bigger chunk of funds that obviously is at a much larger.
And is that just a scale decision at this point? You guys have proved.
Yeah, now it's all about scaling.
Got it. Very cool. So, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, looking back at your journey to Genexa and kind of even what came before that. Like, what do you consider to be the most impactful advice that you've received along the way?
It's a great question, Justin. I think there's a couple. You know, I really along the way, I've had to learn a couple different lessons, and I can promise you that, you know, the first thing that I find most valuable is you just can't consider you can't consider yourself an expert in everything. You're not. And, you know, even with investors, with the companies, you're going to turn so many different corners and get smacked in the face and really not know what's around the corner. So really heeding, you know, listening to other people's advice, it's really important, but also being careful about whose advice you're taking.
So, right.
Really understanding how people get around you, trusting the people that are around you, and learning from them and asking questions and not being afraid to ask the questions. The other thing that I strive to put across to my team is about failing quick. And failing fast. I don't want to fail over time because it's costly and it's not worth it. So, I stress to the team to fail fast and get back up and, you know, pivot quick. So that's a real big thing because, otherwise you can not only run out of money, but you know, it can kill you over time. So
yeah, you only have so many entrepreneurial lives, right?
Right. Exactly. And then unfortunately, I lost my father this year. So something that I've always, you know, worked off of is, you know, you got to remember to live.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
You know, business and being an entrepreneur is wonderful, and growing your own company is amazing. And when, you know, it starts to produce and you start to make a difference, it's great. But at the end of the day, you know, we all need to remember to live. And I think that's something that I try to repeat to myself on a daily basis, because sometimes you don't live being an entrepreneur.
And so, you know, the million-dollar question, of course, is how do you know when you've achieved that balance?
You mean with the company or
life? The quote unquote work life balance that, you know, we hear so much from entrepreneurs and leaders that maybe there isn't one. And then, you know, there's also, you know, as you said, there's these events in our lives that really force us to take stock and say, like, I'm out of balance at that point. And I think everyone comes to that point, you know, probably several times. So how do you personally know when you're in or out of balance?
Yeah. When I don't see my kids in a day, I'm out of balance. When I feel like I can't keep my eyes open, I'm out of balance. When I need to take a break, I take, you know, when my body or I'm telling myself to take a break, I take the break, because I can't, you know, it's a great question, Justin. You know, you sort of have to train your mind to recognize that you got to remember to live, right? Because if you don't, then, you know, now I, you know, thank God we're at a point where I go home early on Friday and I shut my phone off, and you know, I go home on the weekday and I shut my phone off for at least 3 hours until the kids are sleeping. So I can focus on them, because phones have, you know, taken over our lives. So it's really just about changing the way that you think. And in a way, I personally think that it helps the company, because I'm not as stressed and I'm not as, you know, anxious about things, because I'm really focused on the downtime and the important things, right?
Yeah, that's great advice. I love the highly actionable things there, right? Like, if you don't see your kids in a day, that's a pretty stark, you know, reminder. And I think oftentimes people don't translate those reminders. It's just kind of, you know, I'll catch up later on and so on. So that's great advice.
So yeah, I can tell you in response to that, Justin, you know, I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, but that 5-year-old has become 5 faster than, you know, anything. And I keep getting, everyone keeps telling me that's older than me, you know, at 14, they're going to want you to drop them off down the block and say goodbye and, you know, not know that they, you know, that not, they don't want their friends to really drop them off. Well, you know, if he got to 5 that quick, you know, I can only imagine that he'll be 12 that quick. So
yeah, absolutely. I've got a 7-month-old that time is already flying around. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the team that you guys have assembled and the folks that, that you surround yourself with. What's the number one thing that you look for in a new hire when you're looking to expand the team?
Driven and self-starter, because this isn't, we definitely don't run our company like corporate America. We're very big on, you know, team and, you know, good energy and everyone kind of, you know, running their own type of ship. But at the same time, I can't be, basically hand-holding anyone through a startup. It's just, it's moving way too quick. I'm not big on the resume. I'm more focused on the person. And, so I rarely, when an interview happens, I definitely read the resume before I go into it, but I rarely take it in, because for me, it's really about the individual, and do they bring good vibes? Obviously they have to have the background and the position that they're going to be working in. If they don't have a full background in it, that's fine. I'm willing to, you know, we're all willing, just like we all learn to get to where we are. I'm happy to help them. But really just being a self-starter and having a good, just a good vibe.
So yeah, so much of that is based on, you know, like gut feel. And I truly believe that that's a critical skill set that an entrepreneur has to have. But how do you, are there anything that you look for during that kind of short window of exposure that, that really gives you a good indicator that someone's going to be that self-starter, that they're going to be driven on their own?
Yeah. You know, I actually forgot to mention, Justin, but what we also look for is that they, you know, they're passionate about what we're doing, because if they're not, then it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Because we're so passionate about making things healthier, that if they're not passionate about that, they won't understand the drive that we have. In terms of what, you know, what I'm really looking for in the individual, I think it's knowledge in the space, knowledge in, you know, the position that they're going to be doing, you know, how they're answering the questions, you know, if I can figure out, you know, what, if there'll be a level of trust, that would be great.
Yeah.
But really just, you know, understanding, you know, I ask a lot of questions about family, you know, about them and where they come from, and, you know, just really try to get them more on a personal level. You know, it's not all about what, you know, what jobs they've worked at and what grades they made in school and things like that, you know.
And I assume, you know, with the size of the organization, that you're normally involved in every one of those hiring, you know, interviews or processes at this point, correct?
Yeah. So we actually have a process in the company, and I don't know, at some point we probably will have to stop this because it's getting to take up a lot of time, but we don't hire anyone onto the team unless everyone's met them. Not that everyone interviews them, but, usually I'm not hiring anyone right now under me necessarily, but the marketing teams and the sales teams and the outreach teams, they are. So usually if they invite them back in for a second interview, that would be to meet the whole team. Even, you know, our administrative assistant would meet them. So, you know, we're really big on everyone being comfortable with the next person that's coming in.
Yeah, huge at the stage that you guys are at. I'm curious, like, what do you, when that process become, you know, no longer becomes feasible and you guys reach a point, but what are you most worried about losing without having that kind of direct visibility?
I think, you know, I think it's the feel. I think it's the, you know, the overall vibe of the office.
And, mm-hmm.
I think what will die is not die, but I think what will become challenging is, you know, you'll start bringing in people that some people don't connect, and I'm not saying that everyone needs to to like everyone and, you know, be friends. But it's really important when the environment can become very stressful that, you know, that you have a really good feel. Like we have music playing in the office all day. We have, you know, plants everywhere. It's a very energetic, fun, you know, good living type of office space. And I just don't, you know, I know that as you bring on others, that will be challenged.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just I don't know that there's any way to avoid that. It's just something that happens with scale. But you know, knowing when you get too far outside of that bound, I think is the critical element. Yeah. So David, definitely like let us know where, if our listeners are curious and they want to go out and they want to try some Genex products, like where can they go? What retailers are supporting you guys today?
Yeah, so we're currently on our website. You can type in a zip code and it can show you everywhere that we're located. But we're in GNC, CVS, Fresh Time Markets. We're in New Seasons on the West Coast. We are on Amazon, our own website. We've got a couple launches coming up into Earth Fair on the East Coast and potentially Whole Foods coming up. Super value.
You guys are everywhere. You
know, I would have to get into it to really know.
Yeah, so I would definitely invite, you know, everyone to check out GenexaHealth.com, which is a great resource out there for both the impetus behind the medicines and then what Genexa currently offers. David, if folks want to connect with you directly, where can they go?
If they want to connect to me directly, you can email me directly. And they can email me at bjohnson@genexahealth.com. And I would love to talk to anyone.
Awesome. Well, David, again, I appreciate you being with us here today and sharing the story behind not only a product-based company, but a medical product, which is even more laden with as you mentioned, a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of folks with a vested interest in not promoting a healthy medical lifestyle. So hats off to what you guys are doing over there. I think it's great with the whole organic backing and so on. And I wish you guys good luck in the future.
Thank you, Justin. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. And if you guys want to check out past episodes of the Driven & Co. podcast, of course, you can always check out leadmd.com/marketplace. And remember to trust in the unconventional.
Thanks for listening to the Driven & Co. podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. To hear more, visit leadmd.com/marketplace.